Weekend Breakfast on 702. Let's walk the talk.
All right, let's get some advice now, because we need to know how to psych ourselves up for what happens tomorrow, being Monday, the new year. On the line is our clinical psychologist, Corsi Gianni. Corsi, hi, good morning. Good to chat to you once again.
Hey, very good morning to you, Ray.
All right, here we go. It's Monday morning tomorrow. The weekend's going to run out. You know what, Corsi? There's nothing worse than that Sunday evening. And you know, you hear Carte Blanche playing and you're going, oh, Carte Blanche is great. But you hear Carte Blanche playing and you go, oh, tomorrow morning, you know, it's time.
Yeah, you know what that means.
Yeah, how do you get yourself psyched up? You know, help us out here.
Yeah, so we definitely need to make a mindset shift. And I have to say that, you know, there's no, again, one size fits all, because there's a mixed bag of emotions attached to tomorrow. For some people, there's anticipatory excitement. People are done with or so done and so over the frivolity, you know, of the festive season. And for some people, it's time to get back to the seriousness of life, you know, back on the treadmill, so to speak.
Yeah.
Whereas for other people, you know, that dread of, oh my goodness, it is that. Right. And of course, we have to then anticipate what it means, what we are in a shifting terrain, so to speak, in terms of the world of work. Right. So we have to get back to the issues around COVID and what that means. There's a number of issues. For some people, it's the great return. Some people, companies at the end of last year have taken, you know, forced vaccinations and everybody gets back to the office. And there's a lot of mixed emotions around that. There's working from home for some people and what that means, because over the festive season, you're home, right? And now you need to get back to restructuring it into a home office. So there's a shifting of gears. And of course, for some people, there's that hybridity of going to the office for a week and so on. So it's a mixed bag of things. And those are things we've got to kind of, in a way, center ourselves around, think about that, anticipate that, and kind of vicariously transport ourselves to that reality tomorrow.
In fact, of course, you're just thinking about what you're saying there. A lot of people will be going back to work tomorrow, but won't be going back to the office. They'll be going back to their own living rooms.
Yeah. Sure, exactly. And of course, their living rooms have been their living rooms, and now it has to be restructured into a home office. And, you know, they need putting up a screen or for some people, and I know, you know, we dealt with this a lot last year, where people have perhaps used a children's bedroom as an office, you know, but over December, they have had to reconfigure that into a bedroom again, because maybe cousins are coming along and so on, and it's time to chill. Office is closed. And now they need to restructure that again.
Here's an idea about going back to work. It's kind of like when you wake up in the morning. Don't just wake up and jump out of bed, because you're probably going to have a heart attack if you do that. When you wake up in the morning, open your eyes, look around, and just lie there for 10 minutes and become human. Going back to work, maybe do your vacation, go away on holiday, then come back for a week and just spend a week at home.
Yeah, well, if you have the luxury of all of that, different circumstances for different people. But the point is, we've got to ready ourselves in some ways. Whether you've had the luxury of going away or you've been, you know, in your home, but there's been different activities going on, there is that need for us to kind of psychologically prepare ourselves, anticipate that as a reality. And of course, anticipation, and then we need to, there's going to be the moment of when the reality happens, when you now need to get out of bed and wear a different hat, so to speak, on that Monday morning, which is tomorrow, you know, and you are now the manager, you are now a different title, as opposed to who you've been over the last few weeks.
Yeah, it's always that as well.
It's
kind of weird. You can be the boss at work, but when you're at home, you're not the boss. It's like living two different lives, isn't it?
Indeed, absolutely. And so we have to put the one to the foreground and another has to recede into the background. But of course, there's also...
Oh, Corsi, are you still with us?
Back to school, at least as far as I know, at least not tomorrow.
Yeah.
So there's that to juggle as well. They are in a different reality to you. So in some ways, you may need to kind of construct some boundary and maybe have a conversation with your family that says, look, tomorrow a new reality unfolds. I have to wear a different hat. So we are not screaming around tomorrow morning or this and that, whatever it means for your family, to prepare everyone for the fact that gears are shifting. You now need to accommodate a different reality yet again. Because, of course, they may have been used to that, you know, towards last year. And again, it's about now resuming that life again.
Do we need to learn from our vacations? Because many times people go away and then what happens? They actually, when they're on vacation, they say, you know, I should have done this more often. I need to go see a movie at least once a week. Do we actually learn lessons from our vacations?
Sure, we do. Because I think, you know, we take the foot off the pedal of pedaling through the to-do list, so to speak, accomplish this, deliver this, and so on. And there's been an inordinate amount of demands on people, just in terms of the changes that we have needed to accommodate to our working lives in the, you know, the last so many months. People are settling into things, but things continue to be in flux in some ways. And so it becomes all the more important to have had this time to just take our foot off. And of course, we then reconnect to things that we may have needed to put in the background as we attend to other more pressing things. And of course, yes, it does allow us that opportunity when you've taken the time, for example, now during the holidays, to have gone and had a spa, you know, and have that massage and feel good and think, actually, I owe this to myself a little bit more often than I.
Yeah, you actually kind of need that whole little bit of a holiday with yourself, that whole thing that goes with that.
Yes, exactly. I need to do this once every 3 months or once a month or whatever frequency your life allows.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And also perhaps when you get back to work, interact with others, talk to others because they're in the same situation as you.
Yeah, well, that's an interesting one because, again, it's a mixed bag, you know, and I am always reminded of a client of mine who we had a conversation in anticipation of her going back to work. And I remember the words, you know, she said, like, I dread the open office, right? And all these extroverts and all these people who are all excited and all I just want is just to be left alone. But unfortunately, the office is structured in such a way that I can't be left alone. And everybody comes back and they have all these wonderful holiday stories. And of course, some people feel left out because that's not part of their world. That's not part of their reality. And everybody's trading stories about, you know, what they did, where they went, and all the memories and all the experiences that they had. And that's not everybody's reality. But of course, we are now in a different dispensation in the sense that, as you were saying, you know, for some people, it doesn't mean physically returning to work, but it means returning to working in some ways.
Yeah.
So it's all different things, and everybody has got to reckon with their own reality as far as that is concerned.
But it is quite nice to go back to work, and one of the things that we have learned is that being at home, it was this big novelty with COVID-19. It was like, oh, we're going to be at home now. I can work from home. I can actually go and get something out the fridge. I can do what I want. But you couldn't.
Yeah.
You landed up doing more work at home than you would have in the office because you feel guilty and you get more involved.
Sure, absolutely. And that's one of the realities. I mean, we were doing a lot of work in the corporate space last year around that, around the need to create boundaries. And exactly that, you know, people said, you know, there's a psychological burden of feeling like you need to be available. You need to be online. You need to be seen to be working. There's that guilt in the mind that if I'm not available, if I'm not online, then it means I'm shirking. And therefore, people kind of overcompensate and end up overworking themselves. And it was one of the things that we discussed was around the need to create boundaries, that and there may be a time boundary, but also that people don't take the break, you know, that they would have taken at the office to just, you know, physically remove, get up. People are sitting at their desks throughout the day sort of thing. Yeah. So there needs to be awareness around all those things. And thankfully, these days we have these gadgets that remind us to move, get up and do something, you know, and we need to set up those structures for ourselves as well, because, you know, the office allowed us to do that. And also the fact that you're isolated now, you can't just pop into somebody's office and just, can I just double check something quickly with you? And now all these things have to be, we have to schedule a call, schedule a meeting, and all sorts of, and everything that comes with that. It kind of can become burdensome in a sense.
I suppose go to work with a new set of eyes, a whole new attitude, a whole new outlook for 2022. If you started that way, you may actually finish the year in a better way.
Yeah, but then again, it depends on what that means and why a whole new, you know. So again, it's that conversation we were having last week about whether do you consider this as some sort of continuity or do you think it's a clean break from last year? Because it would be one thing, for example, if you were starting a new job, new environment, new everything. So it's a clean slate for you. Whereas if you are continuing where you were last year, there is, yes, a sense that it's a new year, of course, but the items on your list are things you're going to need to do from last year. There's that continuity. There's a project that still is unfinished, right? So everybody needs to get into that project and take up their different roles and contribute to continuity with that project in order to deliver it. So,
Yeah.
There's a newness, but yet there's also a continuity with the past.
Now, speaking of which, how do you deal with that person who has been away for 4 weeks and they come in and you've been working the whole way through the festive season because people have to, some people have to. And that person comes along, Corsi, and all of a sudden it's a brand new year and they want to hit the ground running and all you want to do is hide under your desk because you're so tired.
Sure. And this is the thing. The principle is that organizations are conversations. We need to talk about these things. We need to talk about our different realities because yours is as true as theirs is true to them. And it is how do these worlds collide? And if we don't talk about that collision of these two worlds, we can then get into each other's spaces in a manner that is disruptive. So it is about what does it mean for you? Where are you finding yourself? And we need to kind of touch base with each other and not make an assumption about where each person is finding themselves, right? Let's touch base and what does it mean for what we need to do in terms of our work, but recognize that that work is going to have to happen through us as human beings. And the reality of being human is that we bring our world into the work that we need to do. So it is about prioritizing the human factor of the work that needs to be done. And because if we don't, that then can easily erode the quality of work that we need to do. Because a person comes from their own perspective, their world, which collides with yours. And if you don't talk about it, we say the principle is that if you don't talk it out, you will act it out.
Yeah, that's so true, isn't it? That is so true. And then there's a question now, how to deal with a new boss, because it is January and there may be a new boss. And that may also take a little bit of navigation.
Sure. And we need to allow that ourselves, the word new means unfamiliar. It means a letting go of the one we had before, mm-hmm. and making space for this new that we don't know. And we will need to know them moment by moment. That relationship will unfold over time. We may have some basic premises on which we work as human beings. Okay, we know that for them to be the boss, they probably will have had this kind of experience. But who are they, right? So we need to allow ourselves the patience and the time to build a relationship with this person.
Yeah, that's so interesting. And build that relationship.
The unfamiliarity and that discomfort that comes with. And for some people, more for some people than for others. For some people, it's exciting. It's that newness. There's a sense of adventure. There's a sense of anticipation. And maybe somebody else is struggling with letting go of perhaps they had a good relationship with the previous boss and they need to kind of, in some ways, grieve and release that and kind of embrace this new reality. And of course, in their minds, they have a stencil, so to speak, of the previous boss. And to what extent this new boss is going to fit into that, not, and how do they manage that dissonance?
Yeah, because very often you get that. You get that resistance from what I call a cabal of people who like the former boss. And maybe that boss... I don't know, left on very bad circumstances. Maybe that boss just resigned or whatever. But you always get that cabal who likes the former boss. And that can become a problem in opposition to the office going forward.
Sure, of course. Once we are comfortable with something, we want to keep it because it just helps to give that predictability, and it gives us that certainty of knowing how to structure ourselves in relation to that person or who they are and what that means for our relationship and our working together as a team, so to speak. And of course, when that person leaves, that whole structure in some ways crumbles, and it means we have to rebuild a structure that then accommodates this person and what that person brings with them into that relationship, and different dynamics are going to unfold. And it's an unfamiliar space. It's uncomfortable. So nobody really likes that. And we just need to recognize there's a new reality that we need to construct, and letting go of the old, as painful as it is. And that's just the isness of life. Those are the things we need to do every so often.
Yeah, because things change. Situations change all the time. Things are fluid.
Sure.
But I suppose, of course, it also goes down to leadership, the leadership from the new boss who takes over. Will he or she, will they perhaps hit the ground running and say, right, guys, here it is. Let me distract you by what we're going to be doing. Because very often people don't have time then to dwell on the past. They just picked up and off they go.
Yeah. And again, you know, these are the changes that organizations struggle with. And when I'm saying organizations, let's recognize that we are talking about people here. So one of the things is for people to recognize that even the new boss is also finding themselves in unfamiliar territory. Let's allow them that humanness, that just like me, they are also human. They have their own anxieties. They have their own inadequacies. And they have their sense of expectations, the burden of expectations, right? And there are different expectations in terms of how people would prefer them to enter the space. So, for example, and I'm talking here from, you know, the work that we've done with a client, where some people would prefer them to come in and, you know, take it easy, learn, you know, stay on the sidelines and learn, whereas other people would be like, you're 100 days. You know, delivery. Yeah. What are your milestones? What are you bringing into this space? So there's different needs and expectations that this person needs to live up to, and recognize that we construct that and they construct their own. So it's not a simple matter of, you know, cause and effect.
Yeah.
There's a whole complexity around that we need to navigate, and a whole lot of give and take that needs to happen in that time.
Now, unless you are a politician taking over a local government or perhaps the city of Joburg, your 100 days, is that really effective or really applicable? Shouldn't it be a bigger picture, a longer picture? Because we want results so quickly, but sometimes it takes some time to achieve those results.
Sure, and I guess the 100-day thing is a kind of principle that you can work with to say, okay, here's the big picture, so to speak, the big picture of the 100 days, but those 100 days are going to be made up of days and weeks, right? So what does that mean? And to be able to put expectations on the table, for people to be able to articulate what it is that they need from you in that time, and what it is that you need from them to be able to deliver on that expectation of whatever that 100 days means for you and what it means for them.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of conversations, crucial conversations, as it were, that need to happen in that time. And of course, not just about work, but also about the human factor, us getting to know each other. When I say this, what do I mean? What do you hear? You know, those human dynamics to take into consideration, because we just focus on the work many a times and forget that work happens in and through people. And therefore, that is equally as important, to build that relational infrastructure that's going to be the conduit for the work that needs to happen through people.
And also as well, office gossip. So perhaps the new year, your resolution can be to drop the gossip. A lot of people go to work just for the gossip and just for the social life and what's going on and he says and she says. Mm-hmm. Maybe you just drop it and go there to work.
Sure. And so if that's, you know, you may have made that resolution that says, you know, I've taken the time, I've reflected on my working relationships, the dynamics and so on. And what is it that I want to take forward with me? What do I want to let go of? And that may be one of those things. And so what that means is that you are recalibrating a relationship for yourself, with yourself in that reflection. But the second conversation, so that's the conversation you need to have with yourself first. And then there's a second conversation that you need to have with the people that have been part of that social circle, right? Because those are your social capital with whom you have engaged in that type of relationship. And when you are recalibrating that, you need to have the conversation with them that says, I have made this resolution. There's a shift that has happened, which means there's going to have to be a shift within our relationship.
Yeah, well, I like
need to be upfront about that. I need to be upfront about that and get their views, because not everybody's going to jump in with you on that necessarily, or not, at least not immediately.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you're introducing a change that people were not expecting. So you need to anticipate that there's going to be perhaps a reaction and a shock to that, and a whole lot of stories that will spin in people's minds about, oh, so now do you think you're better than us, and all that kind of thing. And those are conversations you need to anticipate.
Yeah.
And reactions, and be patient with people.
Should you then,
in that journey.
Of course, should you then change seating in an office? Because very often, I mean, I sit opposite Sifiso Zulu. He reads Eyewitness News. Now, we get on very well, you see. But sometimes, should maybe I go sit somewhere else, because it changes the office dynamic?
Even if you do that, it's an option. And it's an option that may be available to some people and not to others. But even if you do that, you need to have the conversation around why that shift, physical shift, is necessary. Because it is that environment that you need, for example. But you need to take people on board with you. They may not necessarily agree with you, but that they know what is going on. That you keep people informed. Because when you don't, it creates a vacuum of information. And as we say, nature abhors a vacuum. When you create a vacuum of information, somehow people will fill it up. And generally how they fill it up is going to be a distortion of the reality. So you need to be proactive about managing that reality for yourself and crafting that reality and putting it on the table for people. There's no guarantee that they will not still not distort it, but at least you have put your side on the table for them to be able to work with, and then they can take it wherever they take it, because that's out of your control. But you've at least proactively put that conversation on the table.
Yeah, it's so difficult, isn't it? All the different office dynamics. Sometimes you equate it to being a school principal, if you're the manager, school principal, with all your children there, which sounds a little bit condescending, but it's kind of the same, isn't it?
Yeah. You know, again, different people will interpret things differently, because we all come into the office space with our baggage. We all drag our suitcase, some more consciously than others, right? We all drag our suitcase, and we all have our own interpretive framework or interpretive world. And, you know, the principle is that we all live in one earth, but we all construct our world of meaning, which has everything to do with you and everything that has made you who you are into this day. And therefore, that becomes the filter or the lens through which you're going to, you know, receive new information that comes up and process that, and how you then behave in relation to that interpretation. So it's each to their own. But what's then becomes all the more important is how we need to consciously put issues on the table.
No, absolutely, you're quite right.
And go through that discomfort, because if you don't, you're going to have to deal with even more discomfort.
You've been warned.
Just because issues go under the carpet doesn't mean they disappear.
Exactly. You have been warned for this year. Clinical psychologist Kosi Giani, thank you so much. It's always a pleasure chatting to you on 702. Thank you.
Thanks, Ray.
There we go. It's Kosi Giani. And there you go. That's what you may need to do this year as we navigate through 2022. And, you know, your first day may not be as bad as all that, your first day back to work. Just go into the office tomorrow, go and sit down next to your boss and say, hi, I've missed you. Okay, maybe don't do that. You might get into a little bit of trouble. It's 9:30.